think it's hung tough. I mean, this is a resilient group of kids. Mm-hmm. They've always proved that.
You can see that just Duquesne, Pitt. I mean, we have great programs here in Pittsburgh, and it's nice to be part of one of the best.
I think it means that the college soccer scene here in Pittsburgh is going to get better and better every single year. It bodes well for the game and the college game here in Pittsburgh.
Welcome, everyone, to the Pittsburgh College Soccer Show, brought to you by the Mongols Network and the Pittsburgh Soccer Report. I'm Mike. With me is our friend John Krasinski. John, how's it going?
Great. Couldn't be better.
Yeah. I was just going to say, you know, John, you originally approached us and said, hey, you know, I know a lot about college soccer. I would love to do the show. And honestly, at this point, I don't know a ton about college soccer, but just the sound of talking about college soccer got me really excited. So I said, yeah, let's do this. So, you know, I know that you have a background in the college game and, you know, really all over Pittsburgh. Why don't you share a little bit about, you know, what it is that you've done and why you sort of feel so close to the college game here?
Well, you know, that's how I got introduced to soccer at this level. Or even just my passion for the game really took off once I going way back to my playing career back at Point Park when we first started our program, and I could spend days talking about the, you know, some of those old stories. But no, when we first started our program, I, you know, was a player in the late 80s, early 90s, and then, you know, in the mid 90s, I coached at Point Park for 3 years. And so that's my history, that's my connection before reality came and I had kids. And back then, soccer coaching salaries were, you know, $3,000 a year or something like that. So the reality was I had to go work for a living and couldn't have that sort of job. But no, those experiences are priceless, wouldn't change a thing. And so my way of kind of getting back, I coached at the high school level more recently, from 2007 until 2014, with North Catholic and then Shadyside Academy. So I kind of got back into the coaching for a while, but now, just sitting back doing a lot of stuff with my new website, Pittsburgh Soccer Report. I have done, you know, I did some work with the Riverhounds and the Trib, you know, as a freelance writer covering soccer. And now the opportunities that, you know, wanted to grow Pittsburgh Soccer Report's coverage of soccer in the area. My goal is that I would love to see more coverage of soccer, period, in this region. And have, with my journalism background, I figured, you know, why not do this? Why not get this started? And so that's been my initiative for the past couple of years. But the first year, it was mostly Riverhounds coverage. It was very heavy Riverhounds, since I had spent a lot of time covering them for a couple years and working with them and things like that. So now I really want to get it, grow it, and expand my coverage. And so I've been looking at the high school side of things and looking at the college side. And now there's an opportunity here to start to give these college programs some more recognition. So at least I feel like I can do my part. Maybe we can do our part with this show, and it'll be a really good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you mentioned sort of the coverage of just soccer in Pittsburgh in general, and there's so many little pockets all over the city of people that are enjoying soccer in all these different various ways, and it seems like there isn't that sort of collective voice out there sort of uniting all of them. And so I'm really happy, you know, the stuff that you're doing over at Pittsburgh Soccer Report, some of the stuff we're trying to do over at Mongols, I'm really excited about it. And honestly, one of those things that, you know, as the air is starting to get a little bit crisper and you feel a good breeze, I always get excited about high school and college sports. Like, fall always is that sense of new life to me, in terms of like starting over and starting something new. And so this whole idea of, I never really got into college soccer growing up, but now, you know, talking about the Riverhounds so much, now we're talking about the Premier League, all these things, it just felt like this natural extension of, no, this would be great. Like, I'd love to go to Oakland and catch a few games, or, you know, go catch some games over for Bobby Moe. And so when you came to us with this, I thought this was just a fantastic idea. So, kudos to you for sort of recognizing that niche and saying, let's go do this, because I think there's a lot of people, and a lot of organizations that really enjoy the college soccer in this area, and anything we can do to help bring that up and grow it it's just amazing. So yeah, good on you. There's a number of local teams that we really want to focus on right now. This is sort of the preview show for the season. We're recording this on Thursday night, Thursday, August 25th. A lot of the games kick off tomorrow, so we want to make sure that we sort of touch on some of these teams before they start league play. The three big organizations that we'll at least talk about tonight, and then we'll talk a little bit about stuff afterwards, is Pitt, Duquesne, and Robert Morris. And so, you know, Pitt's men's team, there's a lot of, I don't want to say the team is in transition, but there's a lot of changes going on over there. John, you want to talk a little bit about what's going on over at Pitt right now?
Yeah, well, you know, the backstory is, you know, Pitt's program has a good long history, not going into too much, but they've had, this is the most amazing thing. The Steelers like to brag about how many coaches they've had in the last 50 years, right? Often you'll hear Chuck Knoll. You know, before Chuck Knoll, they had quite a few, but from Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher, and now Mike Tomlin. Well, Pitt soccer, since 1954, has had three coaches, and one of those was just hired this past year. So that tells you an awful lot about, at least Pitt soccer has tradition. It has two coaches that have won, I believe both have won over 500 games in their history. So while the program, obviously since joining the ACC in 2013, has taken definitely taken a huge hit. The past, I think they're 0-22-5 in ACC play. So athletic director at Pitt, Scott Barnes, just decided that it was time for a change. And he went out and found, if you look at the landscape of college soccer, he went out and found maybe the best coach available.
Yeah.
When you look at Jay Vidovich and his credentials, 22 years at Wake Forest, and he has won, his share of games, but he's also, he's been to the College Cup. He's won a national championship for Wake Forest, spent 1 year with the Timbers organization, particularly with their USL team as the head coach, but also talked about being in there at the with the senior team and being a part of that MLS championship last year.
Yeah, but I was going to say, just to put it in perspective for people, you know, you mentioned his sort of winning percentage. In the past three seasons that he was at Wake Forest, he posted a 67-4 record and won a national championship there. And while he was there, he finished in the top 10 nine of his past 11 seasons. So there was actually I'll call him a friend that I played with in high school, and when he graduated, he went to Wake Forest and played under Coach Vidovich, and ended up going on, and he was drafted to the MLS, ended up trying to bypass that and went over and played in Europe. But he built quite a program over there, and so when I saw that he was coming to Pitt, you know, that immediately made my ears perk up and go, really? Like, there's something here.
He's and I think he's just his first step, and he talked about this, is that he really talked about changing the culture here at Pitt. And now that, you know, they're competing in the ACC, they have got to get to a different level in terms of recruiting, the type of players they have, just the overall talent. You know, that's where you start. So the first year or two, I think he's even anticipating that this is going to take some time. So,
yeah, absolutely. And John, you were at the Fall Sports Media Day for Pitt, and you had the opportunity to get some audio from both Coach Vidovich and some of the players. And one of the players that I think is really interesting, that I think some local fans can sort of relate to a little bit, is Bryce Cregan, who transferred in from Akron, which Akron, you know, has been sort of a powerhouse the past few years themselves. He is involved with the U.S. national team system. He's not on the senior level, but I think he played in the U-20s. And you got some audio here of asking, you know, Bryce why he transferred. So let's take a quick listen to that.
Leaving Akron, it just wasn't the right fit for me, unfortunately. But it was a pretty easy decision once I knew who the coach was here and what I was getting into. I was all about it. Just couldn't.
I think it's kind of interesting is with Bryce's situation. Is that when I was at Wake Forest. My other assistant, Jeff Nagaya, who has since gone to Boston College now, and then also Mike Bohanek, who was at University of Virginia, all three of us had him in our office as a recruit. So we were interested in him. He was with the U.S. national team at that time, the youth national team, and had quite a bit of respect as a player. So we had recruited him there. So it's kind of funny that now he's reunited with the three of us for a little bit. My goal is to see if we can get the most out of him. You know, I think he has great ambitions. You know, another opportunity now to see things in a new light, a new opportunity to express himself, a new chance to lead. I'm excited about it. I mean, he's certainly has brought a new... I think if you talk to any of our players, if you've seen our staff around him, you can just see he's made an immediate impact in the locker room. His immediate help with the culture in terms of, one, is he was a youth national player. Second, he's come from Akron, is one of the top teams in the country. So to bring that, his experiences over the last 2 years, and to come on in here, I think you guys have fed off it, and some of the guys who are quality players are, you know, feeding off it and growing from it.
So some interesting stuff from both, you know, Bryce and Coach sort of talking about his credentials, you know, basically saying that he thought that Akron wasn't a good fit for him, and, you know, sort of the history of Bryce being on Vidovich's radar for all of these years. And it just sort of lined up in terms of bringing him here at the same time as Coach got here, which I think is sort of an interesting, I don't want to call it a coincidence, but it's nice how that played out. Go ahead, John.
You know, one thing I wanted to share, and having been in that situation as a coach, especially when you first take over a program, sometimes, and we've seen this with the Riverhounds this year a little bit with the new coach and bringing in his own players, but having some legitimacy. I mean, obviously Vidovich has a lot of legitimacy, but to bring somebody on board with you, to come in with you with some sort of pedigree, I think that helps him as well carry his message, because he's in this situation where he has to work with the current roster that he already has, and so he's trying to build a different culture. And the players spoke a lot about a different type of intensity. That was something that echoed, and I kept thinking about that a lot after the interview. How that is something that when a coach comes in with a lot of credentials, he just seems to have the attention of all these players, and that's a great thing. They may not win a lot of games this year, but I think he's building this. It sounds a lot like he's got their attention, and they're really look like they're going to be a pretty hardworking team that's going to be competitive for the most part. But we'll see with the talent gap. We'll see where that stands. But
yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned, you know, sort of, we've seen it a little bit with the Riverhounds in terms of them bringing in a new coach, and it was awesome. You sort of jumped at the opportunity to ask Coach. You know, he went from coaching at Wake Forest to he spent a year coaching Timbers 2. So the Portland Timbers is the MLS team, coaching their USL affiliate T2, and then is going from there back to college, which is sort of the reverse of what the Riverhounds have right now with Dave Brandt, who went from college to the Riverhounds. Let's take a listen to hear what Coach had to say about that experience of going from college to USL back to college.
Well, it was coming from Wake Forest. We had a lot of good things going on, and an established program. We had quality players, and I felt like I did about everything I could do there. Right? We won the championship. We won the ACC championship. I had the stadium built. I had the I had walls put up in honor of my predecessor and mentor. So it done a lot. So it was an opportunity to grow, getting more experience. And I had two different experiences while I was there. One was with the first team as an assistant and seen there. And that was a different level. That was a different level of player. And to see them, and obviously they went on to win the MLS Cup, but to be around that on a day-in, day-out basis, you know, professional staff, see how they're doing, how they think about things was fantastic. So it was enlightening. To then also be able to, you know, try and run a team in the USL, which is a developmental for the Portland Timbers, was also it was a whole turnaround. So it was like, you know, Bull Durham type thing compared to the big leagues. You know, so you're hoping for rainouts. You're planes, trains, automobiles. You've got everything going on. And it was interesting because we had kids who didn't have the habits, the professional lifestyle, etc., of what I had at Wake Forest and what we're trying to instill here. But that was my job, was to teach them how to grow, because they did have tremendous, you know, they had, some of them had the potential to go on and play in the game. So it was more of a developmental there, and it a lot of it was not much different. A lot of them, you know, there's some of them that were only 17, 18 years old as well, you know, with me. So it was the same type of age group, you know, with it. But the difference is here is, you know, being in control of the whole program and trying, you know, be focused on the one group.
So that touches a little bit on what you were saying, John, you know, about the instilling sort of a professionalism and bringing that sort of work ethic. You know, he mentioned that going to T2, he was recognizing that there were pro players in that system that didn't have sort of the same work ethic, or they didn't know how to be pros at the same way that some of the players at Wake Forest did. And I think that's something to be really excited about. For this Pitt program is instilling that sense of professionalism in addition to trying to, you know, make great players on the field.
Yeah, well, it was very revealing, that quote, and in terms of, it was revealing on both sides of it. You know, you could look at the professional side and say, you know, they have a lot of challenges on that side of things, but from the college side, to see, I think that the maturity of the college soccer player, I think that speaks volumes of the type of players that are playing at that level. I think that, you know, Mark Steffens, the Riverhounds guy, we keep dropping Riverhound references, but for this specifically, remember this quote, he said at the beginning of this season, he says, at this point in, you know, in where we are as far as a soccer country in the United States, technical skill-wise, our players across the board are very good. Much better than we were obviously 10, 15, 20, 25 years ago. It's just a much better, there's not a lot of differences in a lot of players, especially now we're getting into Division I men's soccer. So it's those other intangibles that really separate players. And I think that's something that, you know, that's going to take, that's what a coach, bringing in a coach at this level, I think sometimes does make a huge difference. So I'm anxious. We're all very anxious to see the type of changes that will come. Also, just to share that quote. I mean, that he was talking about the T2 and it was the Bull Durham sort of thing, and the planes, trains, and automobiles, and that culture of the, you know, a lower division soccer and maybe that he's been at Wake Forest. And he built the program from a pretty low point. But to get to the point where he's going to college cups and he's dealing with media, I mean, when he began the press conference, it was really interesting because we're so used to such a casual media conversations with a lot of the coaches and the players in covering soccer around here. The first thing he did was he asked me, what's your name and where are you from? That strikes me as a coach that's been sitting at a Final Four or a College Cup, national, you know, media coverage is a lot greater, and he's used to being on that big stage, and it struck me as he's used to a bigger stage, and he's used to, you know, a lot more formality when it comes to media coverage. But you can just see it. You can see the professionalism. You can see it just in the way he speaks and handles things. I was pretty impressed with him. But again, an official game hasn't been played yet, so we'll see.
Yeah, you could tell that he's setting the bar high, and his goal is really to come into Pitt and transform it into, you know, a perennial contender, you know, somebody that's always in the national rankings. And one of the questions came up where, you know, somebody said, do you actually think that you can replicate the success that you had at Wake Forest? And how long do you think that might take? So let's see what he had to say.
I hope I can do it a hell of a lot sooner than I did at Wake Forest. That's a big thing. But Yeah, for sure. I think there's some great things here. You know, it's the same thing with an assistant who came on in from other top programs. They see that there's a great potential here. The institution in terms of facilities, the University of Pittsburgh, the city itself. You can see that whether it's, you know, Raj, you know, internationally. We have another young man from England who sees, you know, the potential in this, in the city, in the university, in our program. Bryce, who would come and leave, you know, a top program, and certainly as he was leaving a top program, he had other opportunities, and he decided to, you know, that this was a good chance to, you know, to change some things and be part of something, you know, going forward.
So he sort of laughed and said that, you know, he thinks he could do it sooner than, or he hopes to do it sooner than the amount of time it took at Wake Forest. But there's a lot of things in place here to make something special. I guess, you know, John, being around the college game, realistically, you know, you talked about how you think that we're going to have to be grinding out some games and really sort of learn how to be professionals. How long do you think it could take to take Pitt from sort of where they are now to being contenders in league play?
I think I still think, regardless of the pedigree and his ability to coach, I do think it's going to take a little while. Again, the bottom line is recruiting and talent, and Pitt has the facilities. Mm-hmm. Anybody has not been to the Peterson Sports Center over at the field. It's just a beautiful facility. It really is. I mean, it's interesting. In Pittsburgh, we have some nice facilities here. We obviously have Highmark Stadium, but then also having a facility like the Peterson Sports Center, very impressive. And it's a really good sight lines, nice stand, you know, the whole nine. The press box is great. It's a wonderful facility. And so there's a recruitment tool there. I mean, you certainly have that. The challenge is going to be, right now, local recruiting players, if you look at Pitt's roster, there's two or three players, local players. I don't think any of them are going to play significant time this year. I might be wrong about that. So that's the challenge when your local base is not that great. The benefit is you're in the ACC. So being able to recruit players, and not only that, he's won in the ACC, so he can sell that. He's going to sell that. And so recruiting is a challenge. You know, at Point Park, I had to recruit with no field of our own. Now they're playing at Highmark Stadium, so that's, you know, that's a whole different story. But back then, 20 years ago, we were playing at three or four different home fields a year, it seemed like. And so we were selling whatever we could, you know. Downtown Pittsburgh is our campus and all these great things. But no, I mean, coach is here. I mean, this is phenomenal facilities. University of Pittsburgh is an outstanding academic school. And there is some of that. If you look at some of the outstanding college programs, there is some, you know, just tends to be a lot of really good student athletes that play soccer. So,
yeah, no, absolutely. I spent a few years at Pitt, and the fields that they put in weren't there yet by the time that I had graduated. But I was driving through there maybe a year or two ago when they were putting it in, and I was like, what is this? This is amazing. Like, where was this a few years ago? So, yeah, absolutely.
And actually, that's a good point. You know, you ask why did they get to the point where they were at such a low point? I mean, I'm sorry, but recruiting somebody and having them say, well, we play all of our home games at Founders Field in Harmerville, that's a tough sell.
Yeah.
And it's a nice field. I've had, you know, but it's not, I mean, it's like night and day right now.
Yeah, the new field is right up on top of the hill in Oakland. It's a walking distance for any of the students. So it's definitely prime placement on some prime real estate in Oakland. And like you said, has great views, and it's just a great place to watch a game. So absolutely, great selling point for the team. You mentioned, you know, sort of the seasons, or we mentioned the season's going to be starting here soon. We've already, or Pitt's men's team already got involved in a bit of a backyard brawl preseason game here, August 16th in Morgantown. Unfortunately, West Virginia walked away with a 2-0 win in that game. Was there anything that you sort of saw or took away from that game that you think is worth talking about at this point?
I think just the fact that I think, you know, West Virginia's a pretty well-established program. They've had some success in recent years. And Pitt was there. They played with them. I didn't see the whole game, but, you know, just from all the reports and all the information that's come through, and I have had a chance to see a little bit of the Duquesne. They did play Duquesne a few days later and did beat Duquesne as well. So they're making some progress. What we're going to expect from them, I'm not sure, when they get to the ACC. It's just the step up to the ACC is their challenge. If you look at their record in recent years, they've had wins. They haven't had an embarrassing overall record. Their ACC record is embarrassing, you know. But I think last year was 5-9-4 overall. So against that middle of the road college competition, you know, they're there, and I'm sure with a new coach, I think you're going to see probably. They open up this weekend. They play they play Detroit, and then they play Howard. So those will be a couple games to kind of get their. It's always nice to have a couple games like that where, you know, you're playing mid-major type conferences that have they're middle of the road teams in those mid-major conferences. So mm-hmm. Hopefully it's a chance for Pitt to get a couple wins on the board, build confidence. You know, that's the bottom line. You know, you want to build confidence. We've heard that a lot when teams aren't scoring much or not playing well as a team. Confidence and chemistry are just so valuable, so important. So if you can build that up early in the season, play a couple mid-majors and get some wins, they're not a program right now that's going to go out and do what West Virginia is doing and going to play two top 20 programs the first weekend. They're not at that point yet where they want to do that so that they can get a better RPI or those type of things to get attention and maybe get an at-large bid to a national tournament type thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned they play Detroit tomorrow at 7 p.m. Depending on when you listen to us, it might be today. That's actually going to be on TV on ACC Network Extra. So if you're interested in, you know, catching some Pitt soccer, Pitt men's soccer, it is available. And then they play Howard on Sunday, like you said, at 7. Both of those games are in Oakland. Howard was 0-17-2 last season. So like you said, these are two teams they could definitely pick up some points in. I'm going to throw this out there, John.
Little side note, if you ever get a chance, I just don't have the time to write something for the report, but the Howard University at one time won a national championship in soccer in the 1970s. But if you ever get a chance, you can Google it. Anyone wants to Google it. It's a fascinating, fascinating story. And the NCAA took away one of the championships, but now they've been fighting to get it back because of discrimination. It was an all-black school winning a national soccer championship. It's just a fascinating, fascinating story. So if anybody wants to, just a little side note there. But
yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I guess is it too difficult to say? I'm gonna try to put you on the spot here. Do you think that Pitt is a 500 club this year, or do you think that it's just impossible to say at this point?
I think it's impossible to say, but I they have not won an ACC game. So your goal right now is, that was a question posed to Vidovich, is what's your goals this year? And he was talking about he wishes he had more time. Mm-hmm. Right now at this point, his goal is to compete and to be in every game and to compete. So you can hear, what he's really saying probably is, We need some more time. I want these kids to be, playing their rear ends off, in his words, and see what happens. I think a couple wins in the ACC would be a monumental achievement this year, because you're playing against the top 8 or 9 teams in the ACC are somewhere in and around the top 25.
Yeah,
that is just what they're up against right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And Pitt's men's team will start ACC play against Louisville in Oakland on September 9th. So they have a little bit of time to get some games under their belt, but not a lot, and sort of see how they can start off league play, which will be very interesting to watch. I guess jumping from the men's team to the women's team, You know, John, you mentioned that a bit of a turnaround season in 2015.
Yeah, absolutely. It was great to see Pitt women sort of in the same boat as the men. They are in the ACC, which, just like the men in soccer, is just a powerhouse soccer conference. A lot of national champions, College Cup, Final Four type teams they're competing with year in and year out. But last year, they kind of turned the corner a little bit, had a successful season. And, you know, we had a chance to meet. I had a chance to talk with the coach as well, and some of the and some of the players as well. So, you know, I got the vibe that, you know, they're definitely on the way up. I think that all, and we'll get to this, we'll get to all the programs, you know, for sure. But, you know, Greg Miller is the head coach at Pitt, and, you know, he's in his fourth year. His first 2 years, they really took their lumps. So he had a couple of the seniors with him at the press conference, and they were all kind of in the same boat. Like, they're really excited. They felt like they turned a corner a bit last year, but I think they still have a little bit of a ways to go. They didn't play Duquesne last year. Did play Duquesne on Sunday night in our second game of the season, and for Pitt's loss 2-0 in an interesting game. I thought that, especially in the early going, Pitt was the better team, mm-hmm. but they couldn't capitalize on any of the few chances that they had, and Duquesne is just an opportunistic team that went on a roll last year and won the Atlantic 10 as a 7 seed. And they're same type of team this year. They're gritty. They have a lot of local players, which is really great to see. And they found a way to hang in there. And then once they got their one goal, they held on to that lead. And it was, you know, I'm kind of going all over the place a little bit here right now. But it was a good game. It was 2-0 at Pitt. But Duquesne's goalie, you know, she was terrific. She's a local kid. She's from Cannon Mac, and Murphy, Kyra Murphy. What a terrific game she had! And, you know, she faced a not a lot of pressure in the box, but she made a couple diving saves on some shots from distance. Pitt has some pretty good players, and I think they'll do pretty well in the ACC. But it was great to see this city game mean that much to both programs. And that they played each other this year in early in the season, whereas in years last year they didn't. So it was really good to see. But Pitt is definitely on a turnaround. Greg Miller, you know, talked about that, and it's still the challenges that still lie ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you mentioned that game with Duquesne. I went and I was looking for it. The highlights are online, and I think the full game is actually available on ESPN3. So anybody who wants to go and check that out, it's available online. And yeah, it's like you said, it was a good game to watch. So yeah, absolutely. It'll be interesting to see how both teams shake out. You know, Pitt had some early preseason play. It looks like they actually beat Ohio State 2-0, which Ohio State, according to some ranks, is as high as 21 in the country. So yeah, I mean, there's some hope there for some things to happen this season. So it'll be exciting to watch them.
Yeah, and in the early going, the one thing I've noticed from Pitt women is they're inconsistent. They played Ohio State in preseason and won. Mm-hmm. I believe it was West Virginia. They played in a scrimmage, the second scrimmage, and lost. Didn't really. He just said it was just not a good performance. Then the first game of the season, they go to Ann Arbor, mm-hmm. and tie them 2-2, and that was a pretty impressive draw on the road, first game of the season. They showed some spark. They had some, you know, some offense. They got out to the lead. so that's. You know, that was a good thing. They had to turn that around and come back home and then play Duquesne with heavy legs. Both teams played Friday night. Now, Duquesne, on the other hand, the defending Atlantic 10 champions, opened their season at Rooney Field and lose 2-0 to Central Michigan. And it was the same thing, Coach. It's finding that consistency early in the season. It was a close game. I think the second goal came very, very late. So Al Avini, he spoke about hit the coach of women's Duquesne women's team was disappointed with that first game, but the Pitt game, I think he feels will give them a boost of confidence for the rest, going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's a little bit about, Pitt's women's team, even a little bit about Duquesne's women's team. John, I don't know if there's anything else you want to mention about Duquesne's women's team before we switch over and take or talk briefly about the men's team.
Yeah, in terms of, again, winning the A-10 last year, is it a once in a – that's the question with Duquesne women is, was this a they just got hot. They rode a hot goalie and a freshman goalie. But I think there's something to be said for having a freshman goalie who did this, had a great tournament, especially in women's soccer. I still think at the college level, a little bit more so in the women's game than the men's, is that a dominant athlete or a strong athlete can dominate a game in different stretches. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't see that too much at the high school level anymore, as much anymore. But where it used to be really prevalent is that, having a dominant athlete in goal could really be a difference in the American high school game and even at the lower level college game. But now I think it's changed because technically it's just so much better. But my point is, the only other thing to add to this really is that Duquesne Alvini is recruiting locally.
Mm-hmm.
He has 6 or 7 or 8 players that are from local high schools. Murphy is a Cannon Mac grad, as I mentioned. He's got a number of other players that have local ties.
I was gonna say, just looking through their roster, there's Penn Trafford, NA, Hopewell, Bethel Park, Mars. There's another Cannon Mac, Greensburg. So yeah, it's Norwin. Players all over from Western PA, which is awesome to see.
Really, for Pitt is women's soccer in this region. I think is ahead of men's in terms of having the ability to get some players on a national team. Maybe obviously we have Megan Klingenberg here to for that. We have a few other players that are on the radar.
Mm-hmm.
National scene as well. So that's the final point, really, to talk about Duquesne and Pitt before we talk a little bit about Robert Morris, but they're, especially on the women's side, they have to compete regionally. You have Penn State women just won a national championship with a few of our local players, Franny Krause from Greensburg Central Catholic. And now Emma Hasko, who really helped lead Upper St. Clair last year to a state championship, is on that Penn State team. And she's probably, at least for this year or next year, is going to be fighting just to get any kind of playing time because that team is really good. So you have right now a defending national championship at State College. And then south in West Virginia, you have a team that's in the top five. You have a top five program. So Pitt, particularly Pitt, because they're more in contention for players with West Virginia and Duquesne. But it goes to show the level of players in this region. Those programs aren't filled with players from Western PA, but they certainly have their share of them and key players. I mean, Franny Krause, she's a terrific player. She was such a good player at Greensburg Central Catholic. Saw her play numerous times. And just dominated that level of high school soccer, and she's just been terrific at Penn State. So that's what Pitt's up against. They're up against two quality programs in both directions. So,
yeah, no, absolutely. Like I said, I think it's going to be really exciting to see how this shakes out. Especially, you mentioned sort of the growth and development of the women's game here in Pittsburgh and sort of seeing the talent make its way up through the ranks and the Klingenbergs making it to the national team. There's some development in the Riverhounds Academy that's then going off to these colleges and doing well. So it's all very exciting to continue to monitor and watch. And, one of the reasons why, like I said, I was so excited to do this show with you is just to learn more about it and get really, sink our claws into it and follow it more closely. You mentioned jumping over to Robert Morris, to Bobby Moe. Let's talk a little bit about them. So I know their men's team produced Brendan Alfieri, who is the backup, one of the backup goalkeepers for the Riverhounds. But what else is going on over there at Robert Morris?
Yeah, well, you know, this is a program that the past few years has not only, I mean, produced Brendan. You've had, you know, Miro Cabrillo came to play for the Riverhounds, but that's just from the local perspective. You've also had two players in the MLS right now. You have, you know, you have Speedy Williams over with the New York Red Bulls, and Coach Bill Dennison at Robert Morris is developed a bit of a Jamaican pipeline. Now this year, if you look at this year's roster, they doesn't have as many players from the from that background. But and Nico Brett, who was drafted by Portland Timbers last year, he was their leading scorer and the NEC Player of the Year the last 3 years. So this is a program that it's a little bit of a head scratcher. He's had some talent. He's had professional players. But yet they've still have not been able to climb to the top of the NEC, which is a mid-major conference. It's tough. I mean, it's Robert Morris. It's probably tougher to recruit. A lot more local players, you know, that make their way. They're playing for Robert Morris. You know, you have a bunch of kids and a couple of Riverhounds Academy players that are now there that are freshmen this year. Christian Snatchko, I know, is the goalkeeper. I don't know how much time he'll play this year. They have a boatload. In fact, they have three goalkeepers just from the Pittsburgh area. They have Winter Fondi from Quaker Valley, and then they also have Matt Besigler, who played at Kiski. So you've got they've got goalies. They've got a bunch of Zach Graziani, who played at West Allegheny, is a dynamic player, strong, good athlete. He spent a lot of time playing on the back line for Robert Morris. And there's just a bunch of local players. Corey McCurdy, Noah Eleman. I mean, there's a number of players, local players, you know, who are making their mark on that roster. So, but they have a number, you know, they have a number of returning players too. You know, hopefully they can fill that gap that Brett was, you know, he scored, I think, 42 goals in 3 years. That's a, you know, almost at a rate of about 14 goals a season.
Not too shabby.
What's that?
I said not too shabby.
Too shabby. That's what they have to replace. And he's having a heck of a year, by the way, with the Timbers. Not necessarily with the senior team, but with the Timbers too. Mm-hmm. He's had some big goals and big games and big moments. And they had a 3-goal deficit to LA Galaxy too. Los Dos, and they came back and beat him 4-3, and he had the game winner in stoppage time. So just it's great to see the players that have played here locally, you know, making their mark. But Robert Morris will be they're a little bit of an enigma. You know, they're just trying to figure out how they seem to have a lot of some good players that come across, and they're just can they put it together and put together a strong team that could win their conference? That's the question.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, just jumping a little bit from the men's team over to the women's team, I guess anything of note with the women's team before we sort of start wrap things up here?
Yeah, this is, again, to go along with Pitt and Duquesne, Robert Morris women were a game away from making it to the NCAA tournament last year, losing in the NEC final. This is a program that, again, a number of local players. This is one team that I haven't seen yet this year. I haven't had any chance to talk to the coaching staff yet, but I am looking forward to one of the things that I'll be doing this year will be at least catching, you know, over the course of the next few months, a couple of games of each one of these local programs. And in Pittsburgh's Soccer Report, we'll have sort of a game of the week feature. Obviously can't cover every game, can't get out to every there's just a lot of teams, and of course we have a lot of good smaller programs too, in Division II and III, and the NAIA, my alma mater, Point Park, has just built their program now with using Highmark Stadium. But the Robert Morris women are right there. They have an excellent program, and I think that you know, we can talk about a little bit more about them and some of the programs to come. I believe they started off a little shaky last weekend. They did lose both of their games, so we'll see what happens. They had to face the same Central Michigan team that beat Duquesne, and they lost to Central Michigan. So we'll see if they can bounce back. I think they're, you know, they'll probably be competitive in the NEC for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you mentioned sort of the breadth of games and sort of how we approach this moving forward. This show, you know, you and I were talking a little bit off air, I think is just sort of a primer just to give everybody an idea of what to expect from some of these local teams. But there are so many other local teams like Point Park that are in the city, and we'd love to spend time talking about them as well. So I think on some future shows, we were talking about maybe doing a show maybe every other week or maybe every 3 weeks where we go back and we recap, you know, what's going on, what's been the big news in college soccer over that span. Because, you know, the college game, they play so many games and there's so many teams that to try to cover every single one, like you said, it would be impossible to try to get out and cover every single game. So I think it'll be good, you know, when we get together, do this, you know, every few weeks to really look back and pick out, you know, three, four, five key moments in college soccer in the area and talk about it. And whether it's in, you know, one of these three teams, Pitt, Duquesne, and Robert Morris, or, you know, it's a Point Park or even some other college that's local. You know, maybe we'll talk a little bit West Virginia or Penn State just because they're so big. But just keep the conversation going about college soccer in the area. I think it's going to be exciting and good.
Yeah, there's just a lot of excitement building right now because, you know, it's so early in the season. You know, it's a transitional time for the signature, maybe Pitt being the signature program, especially on the men's side, for them maybe to really, maybe now's the time they're finally going to turn the corner. So it'll be anxious to see how things go. And like you said, we have, you know, we can revisit this every couple weeks or so. And I think you'll see we'll get to see really where they stand in the next few weeks. I would say there'd be plenty to talk about.
Yeah, so there's all of that. Plus, you know, you mentioned some old Point Park stories that I'd love to get into at some point. Really, just sort of pick your brain on those. We'll see if we can drum some of those up on the.
Well, I will say this, you know, 3 years, it was such a different time. I mean, it was such a different time. And you know, at one point, by my 3rd year, we were at a point where, you know, we scrimmaged Duquesne, and it was, you know, we didn't even have our two or three best players, and we lost 1-0. But it was great scrimmage. The team was really good. That team was really, really good. So I was proud to be a part of that. But you know, it was just such a different time, and now everything, in terms of the level of play, I mean, I couldn't imagine being a coach at this level, at that level, at the college level now, how different it is and how much more professional. But we had some fun. We had some good times back in those days, and I'll be happy to share some of those tales for
Yeah,
sure.
absolutely. And it's indicative of, you know, how soccer is growing in America, which is great to see. You want to see that sort of progress. So yeah, I think that pretty much, you know, wraps up this show. You know, if you like this show, you can go subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, iTunes, whatever. Obviously, go read more about the college stuff over at Pittsburgh Soccer Report. That's pghsoccerreport.com. That's where John writes all about the college teams, Riverhounds. You know, we talked about maybe doing some high school stuff as well. So a lot of good stuff over there. I guess, John, anything else before we wrap this up?
The weekend, it's going to be a terrific soccer weekend in Pittsburgh. So if you're listening to this, it's Friday. We've got, I mean, obviously the Riverhounds go to Harrisburg for their big match, and both of us will have other things, coverage in both of our sites to devote to that. But while that's going on, you know, you've got all six teams that we spoke about will be in action playing multiple games. So keep up with that. I'll have all updates on PittsburghSoccerReport.com. Really looking forward to see how the Pitt men and the Duquesne men and the Robert Morris men start their seasons off. It will be very interesting to see how things get going for those teams.
Yeah, and if you know you're at the games and you have anything that you want to share, any thoughts, you can, you know, send them over to either us, which is, you know, at Mongols on Twitter. You can also send them over to John over at Pittsburgh Soccer Report, and we'll be glad to incorporate them either in this show or, you know, in whatever John's producing. And just, you know, keep the conversation going about college soccer. We talked about at the beginning of the show that that's really one of the keys of what we're doing here. And so if you're there and you want to be involved, let us know. We talked about maybe doing some interviews in the future and incorporating, you know, your thoughts as fans and players and coaches and all of that. So this is really just the start of something that I think could be really special for the area. So, yeah, I guess that's it. John, thanks again, man. You know, you're like I said, you're the professor that's making this all happen. So we really appreciate you organizing all of this, and hopefully we'll learn some stuff and we'll grow together as we go along on this ride.
Absolutely. It was a blast. And, you know, again, thanks for, you know, really your organizing and putting all of this together and really helping make this happen. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. All right, everybody. Well, have a good one. Enjoy the soccer this weekend, and we'll talk to you very soon.